It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life? 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good, and I like it when we had our own bed, different, and when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, welcome to the Safe Space Shelter from the Storm edition. It's my distinct pleasure. We're going to do some intros before we go through the quote-unquote show lineup for tonight. And we're going to go from my left to the right. I have Robert Trausch from Chico Housing Action Team. Quick introduction for yourself. And I understand you have an announcement, Bob. Let's get that in.
Yes, I do. We have a fundraiser tomorrow. The Naked Lounge has been kind enough to put on a program for us with the money that's going to be donated to the Safe Space Winter Shelter, our fourth year of it. It's called Storyteller's Circle. We have six women sharing part of their life story. It's mature audiences. We're asking to have mature audience there. It's potent, interesting stories can be told by these six women. It's at the Naked Lounge again tomorrow. Doors open at 6. The storytelling start at 7.
Awesome, Bob.
And the money is going to be donated to Safe Space for our winter shelter this year, which is really exciting for us to have. Some people in the community have been stepping up. Last week we had a group step up and do this, and we have another, you know, it's really exciting to have all these people step up and come to us and say, hey, we can help you out. And this is Chico's a great community for doing that.
It rocks. Speaking of rocks, I have the most excellent human being. That's my intro for you, Nikki Dow. Do you mind a quick introductions, Nikki Dow?
I'm Nikki Dow. I'm a Chico local activist in our local community. I'm graduating from Chico State this spring, and I'm doing my internship at Safe Space.
Nick Narod.
Well, it's Rick Narod, but that was close.
Close. Yeah, I blew it. I had one
Rick
chance.
Narod. I'm faculty at Chico State, and actually Nikki is one of my students.
Wonderful.
And I'm also a volunteer with Safe Space. This year I'm serving as operations manager one night out of four, so I'm one of the people who oversees the whole process, and then it's on call for the entire night for any problems.
Awesome. And there are.
And there are.
And there are. I always consider them opportunities, Bob. Human opportunities.
Thank you.
I want to slip this press release I got in from Bob Erlingbush here on People Powered Radio. All right. It's a good time to read a press release that I just got from Bob Erlingbush, Executive Director of the Sacramento Regional Coalition End Homelessness. Bob is someone we featured on this program back in the summer for our Solutions to Homelessness series. But in briefity, the third annual Interfaith Homeless Memorial will be held on Monday, December 19th, 2016 at 7 p.m. Trinity Episcopal Cathedral, 2620 Capitol Ave, Midtown, Sacramento. 79 names of homeless people will be read at the memorial. Their ages range from 0 to 71. With the average age being 50 years old. Reflections will be given by Congresswoman Doris Matsui, Mayor Steinberg, Supervisor Kennedy, and interfaith leaders representing the Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, Episcopal, Evangelical, and Native American faith traditions. All right, give it up for Sacramento, all the brothers and sisters down there. I do want to say I think this is the best cover I've ever heard of Shelter from the Storm from Bob Dylan. Shout out. Cosmic Kev came in, man. I was kind of teary-eyed listening to this. It's just a perfect, perfect way to lead the show. I've kind of split it up. I'm going to lead and end with this cover song, Shelter from the Storm. But I'm going to go directly in after Shelter from the Storm from someone I'm blessed enough to know in Sacramento. Her name is Shahara Hyatt. She's the director of the California Homeless Youth Project. And she's going to describe, you know, the impacts and some of the dynamics for these transitional winter shelters, of which Sacramento has one that's similar to Chico. And it's just a really good opportunity to kind of understand and see the viewpoint of our youth that may be out on the streets, cold, and looking for a place to be here on People Powered Radio.
Said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her. On that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us. There was little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm.
My name is Shahara Hyatt, and I am the director of the California Homeless Youth Project. So I wanted to speak a little bit about Winter Sanctuary today. So know that Winter Sanctuary is an absolutely critical and potentially life-saving resource for our homeless neighbors, and that increased participation from the faith-based community to temporarily shelter people from the elements is part of the fabric of a safety net that forms in communities all over the country. While shelter from the cold is critical, we know that the threats to people living outside stretch far beyond just the weather and include verbal, physical, and sexual violence and exploitation, that more emergency and long-term housing options are needed year-round. Also, while the faith-based community is providing such a critical service, we know that there can be some challenges to the winter sanctuary approach, especially for youth. At least in Sacramento, pets, including service animals, are not allowed into the church spaces. Sleeping accommodations are gender segregated, which both excludes people with romantic partners of the opposite sex, as well as people opting out of the gender binary. There is no dedicated space for young adults, many of whom have safety concerns about staying overnight with older adults who may have more serious health, mental health, or substance use issues. The lineup for intake begins at about 2:30 p.m., the night that they want to participate in the winter sanctuary. Shuttle buses then take them to location at about 4 p.m., lights out at 9 p.m., and wake up at 5 a.m. Those hours are pretty restrictive and not developmentally appropriate for youth and young adults. They also may replicate traumatic group home or incarceration dynamics in a way that can be triggering for folks. So again, you know, while Winter Sanctuary is critical and life-saving during the winter months, it can also be high barrier in a way that limits access for many of our unsheltered neighbors, particularly young people.
Now, you're talking about a specific sanctuary in Sacramento, Shahara?
So the Winter Sanctuary program is put on by our continuum of care, Sacramento Steps Forward, and there are about 10 churches that participate, so the location rotates from night to night. So that's another challenge, too, that there isn't always consistency in the process or the rules, and that some of that is dependent upon the church that night.
Do they accept unaccompanied youth? I know for me as a 16-year-old runaway, I didn't need an ID to get shelter. Is there any restrictions on, you know, under 18 unaccompanied minors?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's only open to adults 18 and over. So when I'm talking about youth, I'm kind of talking about that 18 to 24, 25 range, like young adults. They don't do unaccompanied minors.
Thank you so much, Shahara. That was beautiful. I think that's a wrap, by gosh.
Great. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
All right, we're going to tune it over to the studio audience now here, starting with Rick, man, and give us a little insight on safe space and any comments on that little piece by Shahara Hyatt.
Well, when she talked about the temperature, I was thinking about later in the week when it's going to be down below 30, and temperature certainly is a critical issue for everyone here. I wanted to point out, though, a couple of things that were different about the project she described and how we operate in the Safe Space Chico service. One is we do allow pets in the churches. At times, the churches have been a little not comfortable with that, but they've all pretty much accepted that. So service dogs, of course, have to be allowed, but even the companion dogs are allowed. It's sometimes restricted in terms of the number, and we try to put them in an area that's going to have minimum damage, but we do allow the pets. We also try to facilitate couples staying together. So we have, depending on the facility, we do put women in a separate side of the room, not in a different room usually, but separate side of the room. But we also allow couples to stay together. So that's a difference. In terms of the youth, she raises what is a major problem that in Chico we really haven't resolved this one, and I don't know that anyone has. Teens, particularly unaccompanied teens in a shelter with adults, is just not optimal. It isn't, and there's no way you can make it optimal, but neither is sleeping outside. So our approach is that we really don't think that youth are a good fit for us, but we don't say 100% no. We try to find other resources for them. We work with other community organizations, and the decision is made at the time, depending on what the scenario is. It's been very, very rare that we've had unaccompanied minors, I think only twice last year. We also had some families with kids, but the unaccompanied minors are definitely a harder group to deal with because of the safety issues.
Yeah, it's sad in a way, because when I was 16 as a runaway, I said it in an interview, Rick, I didn't need no ID to get in any of these places, you know, so like you had mentioned.
Yeah, you know. And we don't ask for IDs from anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the other hand, we do worry about safety. We worry about the unaccompanied minors. We worry about single women. We worry about everyone. And the minors are just a different group that we have to deal with. And so far, it hasn't been a real comfortable fit.
Nikki, what do you got?
Hi. It was really interesting to hear how that program works in Sacramento. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing for my internship is reaching out to other organizations in California that are doing similar things to Safe Space and seeing how things work, like issues that they come across and how they deal with them, and trying to do a comparison on that. Yeah, I thought it was really interesting some of the differences, like Rick said, that they have there, especially with the pets and separating women and men. And also that it kind of excludes people who don't identify with a gender, and how to tackle that. Because I feel like something's really great with Safe Space is that we are trying to find housing, emergency housing, for people who are excluded from the other resources we have in Chico. So how do we stay as open as possible while still following these regulations that we have to follow, and respecting the churches for letting us use their facilities, and also trying to ask them to kind of be lenient on some things that they might not want to be. So it's interesting to hear what she had to say. Yeah, and the time frames that she had too, like that they had to be in line at 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm curious as to what kind of issues they face in Sacramento that makes that the case. That seems like the guests would need to block out a large portion of their day to standing in line. And then they get woken up at 5 a.m. Here in Chico, we try and wake them up at about 6, and there's still a little bit of lag time before the bus takes them back downtown to the Jesus Center for breakfast. But it's just really interesting. I'm curious to find out why they have to do it that way.
Rick?
You know, let me add something to what Nikki just said in terms of the time people have to start lining up. We've actually tried to minimize the number of people lining up. We have an intake center at Calvary Community Church that's our standard intake center throughout the season. And we really don't want people hanging out there during the day. The neighbors definitely don't like it. So we've tried to work for 2 years at least to try to find ways that we can minimize the waiting around time. This year, we've been working with the Butte 211, which is an incredible organization, and they've agreed to take our pre-registration. So people who stayed with us the night before can indicate if they're coming back. The remaining slots, we call 211 and tell them how many. And then between 11 and 3, people can call 211 and get added to the list. That means they don't have to show up until about 5:30, and we will hold that slot for them until 6 p.m.
That's a wonderful thing. Shout out Tara Sullivan, I think is her name.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah,
yeah. I had her on the show, man. They do wonderful work at Butte 211. That's
great.
A really cool thing,
yeah,
right?
They're great to work with.
What do you got, Bob Trausch? What are you going to add to our conversation?
Well, I think they covered most of it, although some of the churches don't allow the dogs inside, and what we've done is we set up a tent on the outside to make sure that people can still be warm. We put heaters in them, and they still have access to the bathroom, still have access to food. So we try and work with all the churches because different churches have different rules and different, some of them we have to actually set up a porta potty outside because they're old churches and the septic or sewer systems aren't that good. So we try and work with all the churches to make sure that they're happy with what we do and that we meet all of their expectations. But a little bit different track, you know, CHAT's basic goal is to house people. Safe Space Winter Shelter is amazing, but it's 3 months of the year. What we really want to do in our community is house people, and we're working, you know, diligently to do that. We're finding more and more houses to master lease. We're talking about purchasing motels. There's a lot of things we're trying to do in our community to get more and more people off the street. And then as far as youth, you have Sixth Street, for youth. And one of the programs they're doing, which we're signing up for, is to have youth be able to come in for dinner with a person, like our family. You come in, you get dinner, you get to spend the night, then the next morning you get picked up at 8 o'clock, so you're safe for the night. So they're trying to find houses for people who are willing to do that in our community through Sixth Street Drop-In Center. And I think more people, if they hear this, if they're willing to take that on, to have somebody come into their home for the evening and make sure that that youth is safe, it's a really important function for our community and for the youth that are out there. Whether they're transgender, whatever they happen to be, there's no, they're all open to be able to find a place to be for the evening.
Host Home Project? Is that basically what you're describing, what Sixth Street's doing?
Yeah.
Host Home Project?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have him on next week.
Yeah, good. Great. That's a really important program.
Yeah, it sure is. I'm going to do some underwriting here and talk to my studio guests for the time that we've got back allotted to wrap up this 30-minute public affairs program. People just joining. Guillermo Mash here for the Wild Roof Radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM, People Power Radio. Awesome. Back in the studio live. I guess you're always live. I don't know why that's kind of redundant. We're back in the studio and we're dead. No, seriously. Nikki Dow, I had such a cool conversation with you at the Beck kind of holiday thing. And try to recreate how freaking excited you are about this internship for Safe Space.
Health administration is my major at Chico State, and I'm really passionate about healthcare. However, I wasn't too thrilled with just jumping into the healthcare system how it is currently. I did Safe Space last year for the first time as a volunteer and was really moved by the direct impact we were having on people and on their health, because a lot of these people are sleeping outside and we were providing them somewhere warm where they could sleep. I was able to talk my wonderful major advisor, professor, into letting me do my internship at Safe Space this year. And we're kind of working health administration into Safe Space. And the way that'll work is I'm a core volunteer this year, so I'm doing a lot of volunteering, but that's not necessarily what my internship is. I'm going to be evaluating the population of people and the demographics of people who are coming into the shelter each night, seeing who was utilizing that services, like ages, genders, all those demographics, and then also volunteers, what kind of people we were able to get to volunteer. I'm going to be observing the different volunteer shifts, intake, shelter, setup, overnight shifts, morning, and what is supposed to be happening, the checklists that are supposed to happen during those shifts compared to how it actually works, and making recommendations about how that could possibly work better in the future. So just trying to get the flow worked out better. And I'm really excited to be a part of that, the organizational part of it, on top of volunteering, finding ways for it to be more inclusive for people.
So maybe for you, Rick, you know, a little bit more on the academics, what you expect these interns like Nikki Dow to be getting out of this program.
What is an incredible experience of providing a great service to people who truly need it. Mm-hmm. But Nikki's also going to be applying a lot of what she's learned in her classes to the management processes that go on at Safe Space. Safe Space is an incredibly complex organization, and we operate in two separate facilities. We have an intake center and then a separate shelter. The shelter, of course, rotates from week to week. But during the evening, from the time people come in to the time they leave, we have four separate shifts that she mentioned. We have an evening crew that is responsible for setup. We have two overnight crews, and then we have the morning crew. And it takes about 30 volunteers a night. About because it varies based on who's doing transportation for us. But it takes approximately 30 people a night, and that has to be organized. So we're trying to make it run better. We're trying to make it more efficient in terms of how we're using our volunteers and improving their experience. And Nikki will be applying what she's learned in her administration classes to the processes that take place during Safe Space.
I was a process engineer at HP, and Dr. Deming, man, continuous process improvement.
That's what we're doing.
Improve the process. And perfect lead in for Bob Charles, because Bob is always looking to improve the process.
Along that line, the reality is, as Rick said, there's many, many people that are needed for all those shifts, including cooking, which is, I mean, cooking food for people.
That's a big deal.
So that's number five on the list. So there's so many. But we need volunteers. And if people would be interested in volunteering, they could go to chat4people at gmail.com and sign up. We need people to for all those shifts. We certainly need your money as well, because we're all volunteers, and it costs the money for food, for insurance, for transportation, for laundry, all of those things, for bedding, costs lots of money. And that's where you come out for Naked Lounge tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Show at 7 for that show, the storytelling show. It's really important for people to support us, because we are all volunteers. We all lack sleep for 3 months of our lives. So come out for that, but also go on chat4people at gmail.com, and you can sign up and help us make it through these nights and days for the next 3 months to make sure people are safe on our streets. We get a lot of people inside. It's really important that this community, and the community does step up. It's an amazing community, but to step up and help us make it through the next 3 months.
Well, can't wait to get out there, because I'm going to get out there next week and do some interviews, some without a roof. Everyone likes when I get out there with my microphone and interview people where they're at. Well, thanks all you guys for coming in. I'm going to transition to a piece of our new format here. We're going to wrap with rap. Western Regional Advocacy Project. Paul Bowden has turned me on to this news story that's going to be our theme for next week. And this is a breaking news story out of Denver of police confiscating blankets for no good reason at all here on People Power Radio.
After video surfaced of Denver police taking blankets and other belongings during a recent homeless sweep, the ACLU sent a letter to the mayor asking for it to stop.
There's multiple grounds for potentially challenging these actions legally, but just at a human standpoint, it's getting cold, and the idea of taking away blankets.
Today, the mayor's office said that belongings were taken on only one occasion.
In that one instance, had belongings taken as evidence once we issued violations. That is the only instance where we have taken people's belongings, and that is absolutely not going to be happening during these winter months moving forward.
Mayor Hancock today directed Denver police to cease taking blankets or tents when enforcing the unauthorized camping ordinance through the end of April. His statement said in part, "As a city, we have a responsibility and moral obligation to protect the lives of our residents. Urban camping, especially during cold, wet weather, is dangerous, and we don't want to see any lives lost on the streets when there are warm places available for people to sleep at night." The ACLU acknowledged it's a step in the right direction, but added,
"We need to just set aside this aggressive policing first model of addressing homelessness, at least during these winter months, and maybe take that time to do some more in-depth study, to really listen to people who are experiencing homelessness.
The mayor's office says it was never the goal to take away belongings, and their focus remains on providing shelter and services.
It's absolutely not safe, nor sanitary, nor healthy to be sleeping on our streets, and we absolutely have spaces open at night for folks to sleep.
And the mayor's office says that the urban camping ban will continue to be enforced at this time, and police have issued 9 citations over the past 2 weeks. Reporting live at the City and County Building, Drew Engelbart, Fox 31.
So Shahara Hyatt from the California Homeless Youth Project, who had led the show, has a few words on Denver Homeless Out Loud and taking blankets and warm clothing from people living in sub-zero temperatures in Denver, man. What's up with that, Shahara? What would you add to that?
Yeah, so I think it's absolutely unconscionable that a lot of the communities across the country, and particularly in California, who have anti-homelessness laws on the books, like anti-camping ordinances, consider tents and sleeping bags camping paraphernalia as opposed to survival gear. So we know that for people living outside, that's what it is. And to take those items and use them as evidence against the crime of essentially poverty and homelessness is pretty inhumane, is incredibly inhumane. And I would like to see communities across the country shift course on that immediately, especially, too, when I talked earlier about some of the challenges with winter sanctuary, which is, you know, one of the temporary emergency shelter options in some communities that happen in the winter. We know that there are a lot of barriers to actually accessing these winter shelter options. There's not enough to meet the need, and that we know people will still have to be sleeping outside, and to punish them for that fact through these criminal sanctions and through taking their belongings is so wrongheaded.
Yeah, we need to be diligent too, because I mean, even though it was a raw video, just basically seeing officers taking blankets from an African American, an older African American gentleman as evidence and then leaving him cold on the sidewalk, that pretty much puts a stamp on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that concludes the December 14th Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. Tune in next week where we're going to be continuing this to follow this story out of Denver and some of the other communities that face the same issues of police enforcement, community policing that includes taking property of destitute people as evidence against the crime of existing here on People Power.